Anyway.
Say what? Say what?
And Carrie Fisher.
Yep.
100 Pops pound it. Carrie Fisher, too.
That's
man.
Right. Hide it for Coke days, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
She's not Return of the Jedi or Blues Brothers hot, but she's still put together pretty good.
I like picturing her cutting lines of Coke with a lightsaber.
I think you just made like the ultimate like fantasy come true for geeks everywhere.
I think that would be cool. But like overweight and still rocking the Slave Leia costume?
A little pudge coming out?
I think that would be cool. Like muffin top.
Lightsaber would just vaporize all the Coke guys.
No, like one of
it's
those.
Not even realistic.
One of the Force FX lightsabers, the ones that just light up. Not like a real one.
It's just gonna smash it around and mash it down, and it's gonna fall off the.
And then she licks the blade. That'd be awesome too.
I am 100% on board with this, Justin. No, okay. Those, don't let these other two just tell you.
Bunch of naysayers.
What you said? She can come to my house. I have several lightsabers she can borrow.
That'd be sweet.
And we'll do what do the lines of Coke off like a Yoda statue.
Yeah. That'd be sweet. Or off of Jabba's titties.
Even better. His bloated corpse.
And that little guy with the beak that's always hanging out by his tail.
He Salacious
could have,
crumb.
He could have like a Scarface, like Coke powder nose.
Just freaking out, like always looking like left, right, left, right, left,
yeah,
right.
All twitchy. There you go. That's how it should be done. Let's remake it.
I like the whole idea of redoing the opening of Star Wars is like a Scarface ending. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
All right.
This coming out of the mouth of the guy who was just talking about how strong the word hate is.
Dark Knight Rises sucks.
He is not a mentally disabled person.
Are you nuts?
He's just Southern.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, God.
Uptown all the way.
That's Justin's kiss of death right there.
I like songs with instructions because it really helps me out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and as always, I'm joined by Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
Super pumped!
Outstanding, thank you.
Ooh, I like that. Why are you super pumped, Dave? What's going on?
I'm just excited. Lots of fun stuff happening in the world of geeks, so thought today would be a good time to talk about it all, since we have a podcast and whatnot.
It's award-winning.
Oh, yeah? Cool, yeah, a lot of fun stuff happened in the world of the movies. They released a new Need for Speed trailer today. Did you guys get a chance to check it out on us on our good old site there?
Yar.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you get? What did you guys think?
That was perfectly bland.
A lot of explosions and things.
Oh, God, I got so... Oh, it made my head hurt, all the fade-ins and outs and, like, some flashes of light.
Yeah, it looked like a bad Fast and the Furious movie.
Wait.
I see shit there. Third one's all right. I wouldn't say anything negative about it, but I wouldn't say anything positive about the third one. But the rest are good. But the first trailer for the Need for Speed, the like minute and 20-second teaser was awesome. It was funny. You know, they showcased like the actual race, and there were like car chases, but it wasn't like, you know, pedal to the metal. Wasn't like just straight out of like Fast and the Furious. So I was a little disappointed with this trailer. So I know, Justin, you love the crap out of the game, right?
Oh yeah, I played them all.
Yeah. Now, is there really a story in Need for Speed, or is it just like a Grand Theft Auto, like you just run around like beating people up with your cars?
You just go pick your track and then try and win and take everybody else out in the process and avoid the police. Boom, there's your story. But there's no like narrative. There's no characters. You make your own guy and just say, hey, or, you know, you put in your name, and then that's you, and you upgrade your vehicle, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Having seen this trailer, Justin, does it excite you to see this movie?
Not really. I mean, I'll probably catch it on the Redbox there, but or if we're supposed to go screen it, then I'd do that, but. I ain't giving him my money.
Not gonna give him your $18 plus popcorn.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I like Aaron Paul, but I just found it kind of silly that he's in a movie like this. Okay. I don't know why.
And he's trying to get, like, revenge, but he doesn't go, like, straight for the guy. He's got to do this race. And then the guy doesn't just, like, kill him. He, like, lets him, like, compete in this race, but, like, tells everyone to, like, go after him. It's like that, that like, animated show with, like, Dastardly or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, Wacky Racers?
Wacky Racers. Like, wait, why don't they just, why doesn't he just kill him? Why is he gonna, like, have, like, henchmen race him and, like, make, like, an accident?
What's it, is it Dick Dastardly? Is that his name? And he's got the dog Muttley?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah. I like that guy.
Yeah.
He's a little trickster, man.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's got the fun hat and the goggles and the mustache.
Yeah, I used to always love that show. And Laugh Olympics. Do you ever watch Laugh Olympics?
No.
Yeah. Because it was dumb.
It makes my sides hurt.
Funny. But in movies that Need for Speed wish they were, Paul Walker... has been talking a lot of stuff about future Fast and the Furious sequels, and obviously 7 comes out next year, and he's basically said that 8, 9, and 10, the studio's already pretty much greenlit them, you know, unless something happens, like one of them makes $6, and that's just Vin Diesel's mom. They're going to continue the franchise, and they have a concrete narrative all the way through 10. And he even made the joke that they'd go to 50, but let's see if Fast and Furious can be the new James Bond franchise. But so we're going to get at least 10 Fast and the Furious movies. And I know Justin is a big fan of the franchise. I'm a big fan of the franchise. I was curious what Amanda and Randy thought of the possibility of 4 more Fast and the Furious movies, counting 7.
As long as they're not like part 2, go for it.
I don't have a horse in this race. I don't really care.
What?
I've only seen Tokyo Drift.
Oh, it's Asian.
That's not even really part of the, like, story.
Sure, it's got the tacked-on Toretto thing at the very, very end.
And it's a completely different style of movie, like, the way it's shot and the pacing and everything. Not to mention the fact that it was pretty much Fast and Furious in name only until they tacked on that ending. But it was still fun, though. And all the other ones are just kind of an action-packed romp on wheels.
Because that was the second one, right?
Tokyo Drift was the third one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the Part third three. One. Okay.
But chronologically, it's the seventh.
Isn't the future?
Yeah. It takes place after Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, weird.
Because remember, we haven't seen the other ones. Han Solo dies.
I have no idea.
Well, the Asian guy who dies at the end of 3, or not the end of 3, but in 3, he's in Fast and Furious 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you were to watch them in order now, you'd watch every other one except Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. You'd watch Tokyo Drift last.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not 7 takes watch place after all. Tokyo Drift, though.
Yeah. Drift. Correct. It's funny because they have, like, old iPods and, like, old cell phones.
Right.
Time warp.
This don't make no sense. But Japan was in the future, was like technologically superior.
Man, I hope Jason Statham beats the shit out of The Rock. I think that would be so cool.
He just fucks
him in the face, and then that's it. Credits.
They must have a pretty good altercation, because The Rock, the last like 2 weeks, has been tweeting out like pictures, like saying like that he's got like former Olympian, WWF champion, UFC fighter, this that versus Jason. State them, and then like he put all his credentials, and then he tweeted a bunch of pictures of them like facing off each other. So hoping there's gonna be a lot of testosterone in that movie. You got Vin Diesel, Jason Statham, and The Rock. I think that women will faint in the seats.
Ooh, and this is the first Fast and the Furious since Tokyo Drift that is not directed by Justin Lin. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, he did Tokyo Drift through 6.
Wow.
And what's his name? I can't remember his name, but the director from Insidious, he's the one directing Fast and the Furious 7, and then he's already signed on for 8, and so we'll see if he continues. But he was handpicked by Justin Lin to direct the movies. And I said one little tiny tidbit of kind of a rant, kind of a bitch fest, that they decided today, or today they announced, that they obviously decided a long time ago, that they were going to make a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life.
Amazing.
Not a remake, like a reimagining or something like that, but an actual honest to God sequel to
it's
the
a
movie.
Terrible idea.
I think it's going to be amazing. Is James Stewart going to be back?
He's unavailable. Oh.
Digital James Stewart? Come on.
Yeah, why not?
It's possible.
They brought back Tupac, right?
Holograms.
Yeah, holograms.
I like it.
Way of the future. But the screenplay is already written, and they're deep into development right now in this story. Let's see here. The story is going to be... If I can pull my screen up. Sorry about that. It's going to revolve around George Bailey, which is Jimmy Stewart's character. It's going to revolve around his grandson being visited by an angel. So basically the exact same story, but now it's Jimmy Stewart's grandson instead of Jimmy Stewart. So no word on, you know, there's been a pretty big backlash. You know, everyone's kind of complaining that it's, you know, hallowed ground. You know, what's next? They're going to do Citizen Kane.
I hope so.
Casablanca.
I hope so. I think they should just redo all this crap. Get it out of their system.
What's the rationale for making it a sequel and not just a straight-up remake?
I guess that they think reboots have a bad taste in their mouth, or maybe they don't want to compete with Jimmy Stewart. Maybe they didn't. I mean, they have no director yet. I guess they've approached a couple directors, and they've been turned down. You know, who knows if people want to... You know, Frank Capra is kind of an iconic director. You know, he did Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. He did all these great, great old movies, and it's going to be hard to top him as a director. So
I don't even like It's a Wonderful Life.
I don't like anything.
I know that's true, but I mean, this is just one of those holiday movies that I never cared for.
I've actually never seen it.
You're not missing anything. Watch the new one. It'll be better.
I don't like movies in black and white.
You don't?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, there you go. That's a new soundbite.
I don't like movies in black. Just cut right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know I guess they just literally have run out of stories. They said the budget's going to be in the $25 to $35 million range, which is kind of an odd range for budgets, you know. Adult dramas in the $25 to $50 million range really aren't being made anymore unless you're Ben Affleck. So maybe they'll get Affleck to direct it. But yeah, It's a Wonderful Life sequel. Go suck it, Hollywood.
Well, I'm going to go see it.
Speaking of Hollywood reboots, remakes, reimaginings, and whatnot, CBS announced that they're ordering a pilot from the creators of How I Met Your Mother, which will be entitled How I Met Your Dad. So 9 years apparently wasn't enough. They're going back to the well, and they're going to start over again with a whole new cast of characters, but with the same premise.
All now, for it.
Is she going to be like banging a new dude every episode, or
like maybe he does?
I know that'll be interesting the way that they handle it from a female point of view.
Oh.
Because, you know, Ted being a new chick every week is, like, not really considered that big of a deal. But, you know, in America, we have this whole problem with women and their sexuality, so...
Well, the very little we've seen of the mother so far this season, she doesn't seem like the type. I know that sounds terrible, me saying that.
Oh, it's not going to be centered around the mother from How I Met Your Mother.
It's a whole new show altogether?
It's a separate story. Whole new show. Completely different person.
Oh, really?
Nobody that we know.
Oh, they originally were talking that they were going to just tell the same story, but from the mother's point of view. Ah. This is new to me.
The more you know.
That's too bad, because I was super excited for it, because in the show, Rachel Bilson plays the mom's roommate, so we were going to get, like, Rachel Bilson in the show, but now if it's new people, I'm sad.
She's out of a job. Maybe she can get a gig on It's a Wonderful Life 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
That's what they should totally call it.
I would see that movie.
I would too. I would endorse it. I would get ad dollars and put it on the website.
You would put your stamp of you double stamp that.
Yes, the Cavendish stamp of approval. Cool. What else you got in the TV news, Amanda?
Let's see. So, Walking Dead was last night.
Oh, shit.
And as we talked about last week, the governor is back. And I was kind of hoping that it would pick up exactly where we left off last time with him standing outside the prison, but no, we flashbacked to last season after he went crazy and saw everything that has, or not everything yet, but we went back in the past to see what he's been up to since he went to Crazy Town. And it was interesting to see how he was definitely suffering from the repercussions of his little bout of insanity. And it did impact him on an emotional level. He's not the completely evil, bereft of morality type of person that was implied at the end of last season. He just completely, he even says himself, talking about himself in the third person, he's talking to some people that he runs into, and he tells them his story, but he doesn't tell them that he's the person or the leader in the story that he's telling. And he just talks about this leader who, started this town and everything was going great, but then the man lost it and then the town fell apart. So
I thought it took a while to get going. I'm pretty sure I killed myself three times, around the 30-minute mark. But then, yeah, I looked over to Lynn and I was like, what they're doing here is they're finding a way to make us like this character. Exactly. And he does these deeds, these dirty deeds, not dirty deeds, these good deeds. And I just had a song in my head. So he starts, running these errands, and he's helpful and he's polite. He's rocking this Kris Kristofferson beard for a while. But then he ends up being a hero in a lot of ways. And I thought that was interesting. And even the next episode, the previews for next week, it looked a little scary. I like the idea of humans being more evil than the walkers. Because right. I honestly believe that people would just go batshit crazy and do terrible things, and betrayal would be a pretty big theme in a post-apocalyptic world. And I think that now that he's meeting back up with his old buddies who aren't too fond of him anymore, I think things are going to hit the fan pretty quick.
Yeah. And he's also clearly trying to go back to the good man that he used to be. So that'll also be interesting to see whether he actually has turned over a new leaf or if the craziness is going to come back out again.
Well, I bet when he loses everything a second time, the crazy will come back out.
That's true. I can't imagine how long that girl's going to last. Yeah. So,
interesting way of doing things. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody that liked that guy before, but when the credits went, I was like, oh, he's not so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I was not expecting a whole episode of just him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. I was surprised.
Yeah. I kept waiting. At some point, we're going to see somebody else. What's going on elsewhere, right? Nope,
because we went all the way back.
Yeah.
That was kind of dirty when they were getting down in the back of that truck.
Oh, God, that was so gross. I was like, oh, your sister's right there.
And her kid.
And daughter. What the fuck?
But David's a parent, so maybe he can explain. Maybe it's just one of those things, parents get it whenever they can.
Yeah.
100%. If you have an opening and you think you get away with it, you got to go for it, man. You never know when that window's going to open up again.
It's not just a parent thing. I think it's a way of life. You get it when you take it when you can get it.
Yeah, but see, Randy, you can have sex at 2 p.m. on occasion. That's not an option for me.
But yeah, it was a solid episode. I ended up enjoying it. I was definitely slow at first, but when it was all done, I walked away enjoying it.
It definitely took its sweet time, the way many episodes of The Walking Dead do.
Yeah. And how he was sitting at the table, and they were asking him questions, and he wasn't answering. I swear to God, I fucking hate when people don't answer a question when they're asked. They just sit there. Oh my God, I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Which is kind of weird, because he'd been talking that whole time. And then all of a sudden, story time's over. I'm shutting up now.
Yeah, stupid.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, exactly. What about the Doctor Who there?
Oh, yeah, Doctor Who. BBC is milking the 50th anniversary for all it's worth and releasing new stuff all the time. This weekend, they released... Oh, wait, was it over the weekend? Yeah. Or is it Friday? I can't remember. Anyway. In the past week, they released a webisode, like a mini-sode, on YouTube of sort of like a little prologue to the Day of the Doctor called The Night of the Doctor. So clever.
Is it Day Before Night, though?
It is.
It's a prequel. The morning after, right?
Yeah.
Chicken and the egg. It's taking place during the Time War, and the Doctor's, you know, traveling around doing his thing, and he tries to save this woman, but she realizes that he's a Time Lord and freaks out and won't go with him. And it makes him realize that he can't run away from the Time War like he's been doing, and that he has to take some responsibility for what's going on with his people. And the Daleks, and some conveniently placed nuns or mystics or whatever, they trigger his regeneration abilities, and he becomes the War Doctor, who is John Hurt in The Day of the Doctor.
Ooh. He's the one that kills all the Daleks?
Yep.
Yeah.
So are we just calling him the War Doctor, or are we calling him any kind of doctor in chronological order because he comes between the 8th and the 9th, sort of?
Well, they build him as the War Doctor.
Okay, yeah.
In the mini-sode. So.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just real curious how that works.
I don't know.
If someone doesn't watch Doctor Who... It seems like the 50th anniversary has been going on a long time. I feel like we've been talking about this for like a year.
Well, like anniversary is all year long, I suppose. No, yeah,
like every time it gets brought up, I'm like, oh, so this is the 50th anniversary episode. No, this is it. I'm confused.
It's this Saturday, so we'll soon be done talking about it. Oh, I'm still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Last week's episode convinced me that Skye is the problem.
Yep.
Because we saw more of her, and she was just as annoying as ever and pointless. Like, I actually got angry with her.
Like, crazy person yelling at your television mad?
No, but, I mean, before I just thought she was annoying. But now I actively dislike her because of the way that she acts. Like, the whole theme of the episode... was, you know, can't trust the man, which is kind of annoying to me since S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be, it's presented to us as, you know, this collection of people who are trying to help the world and, you know, protect non-super people from stuff that they can't handle or understand. And freaking Skye, like, the way that her character is just like, nope, I'm not okay with you because you're a huge bureaucracy and you won't tell me the stuff I want to know. So that must mean you guys are all bad. But the writers are also kind of going along with that, which I don't understand. So the whole dynamic seems to be that S.H.I.E.L.D., is just another shady government organization, and then Coulson and his team are gonna have to be the ones who like expose it for, you know, the sham that it is or whatever, which it just annoys me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that in the movies, S.H.I.E.L.D. is this giant cool organization with awesome toys and helicopter aircraft carriers and cool gadgets and shit. And in the TV show, it's always them in a van. It's always like so much so much more low tech. But I mean, more to your point about them trying to maybe bring down S.H.I.E.L.D. I think you can see some of that in the Captain America trailer. It's, you know, with Robert Redford and stuff. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're trying to make like a shady version of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a non-shady version of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, who knows? Who knows what the Marvel folks will think of?
Oh, but I was upset with her because Coulson. I was remembering the specific thing that she did. I don't just dislike Skye for Skye's sake.
Oh, okay.
I dislike her because of specific things that she does. Namely, Coulson tells her, "Leave it alone. You're not authorized to have this information," and yet she still insists on hacking into S.H.I.E.L.D.'s computers. But she doesn't just do it on her own. She forces Simmons to help her, which made me so mad, because Simmons didn't want to help her, but she coerces her into doing it anyway, and then Simmons gets in a ton of trouble because she panics, and she essentially tases the superior officer.
What? She needs to go to jail.
Yeah, there's rules.
So that's why I don't like Skye.
Can we just start calling her not Eliza Dushku?
Yeah.
Because clearly that role was written for her, and she must have been busy or too old. tell me more.
No, there's more. The Flash.
And what about Netflix?
Oh.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
Flash was your thing.
Yeah, Flash is your thing.
Oh, yeah, because I flash people my junk.
Yeah. All the damn time.
Remember, it's episode 20.
Yes, that is true, Dave. So, we all know that Arrow was going to be introduced into... Not Arrow, but Flash was going to be introduced into the Arrow universe, which is great and all. And you can expect to see Barry Allen, played by Grant Gustin, in episode 8 and 9 of season 2 of Arrow. And I want to say that it's going to be episode 7 this week. So with the holiday day, you're going to have to wait until December 4th to get your first dose of Barry Allen. But originally there was going to be a backdoor pilot for The Flash, and that was going to be episode 20 of Arrow. However, the fine folks over at the CW, they have decided to give it just its own standalone pilot. So hopefully that works out for them.
Yay!
Are you guys happy with that?
I am. I hope it succeeds, and if it doesn't, he can always come back to Arrow.
Right.
Win-win.
I think it would have been fun to see him on Arrow, though. But whatever.
Yeah, I always liked it when the superheroes interacted with each other, like on Smallville and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it would have been cool, but, I mean, it could be cooler if now we have... Now you have 2 hours of CW fun instead of one.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that bothers me is, like, there's always this formula where at the beginning... You see the hero do something amazing, and then they get defeated, you know, somewhere around like the 20, 25-minute mark, and then they come back and win at the end. It's the same every time.
It's like Rocky. He always lost at the beginning. He came back.
I know. It's just, I don't know, why can't they just win all the time or just lose all the time and give up being a hero? You know what I mean?
Wouldn't make for interesting television if they always constantly got their asses kicked.
But why is it interesting when it's always the same?
Like, every episode, Arrow just loses.
Like, dude, you gotta give up. This shit's not working.
Crime is rampant. Nothing gets stopped. And he's just, like, hanging his head in the shower. He's like, you gotta give it up, kid. Because Mickey's there.
That's kind of the way Kick-Ass works. He gets the shit beat out of him the whole time. Even at the end, he still gets his ass kicked.
Yeah. But he does it for a purpose.
Yeah.
What it is, I don't know, but I'm sure there's a purpose somewhere.
I don't know. I just think that that's a kind of a weird format. It's always the same. That's it. Do we have a list?
We do, actually. I've got a bunch of facts here that you probably don't know about Jurassic Park.
Ooh.
What?
This is a nice quick list. It's a little bit over 10, but I don't think you guys will mind, so I won't even number them. I'll just dive right into it if y'all don't mind.
Was one of them the dinosaurs weren't really there? I knew that.
Actually, there's one that's very, very close to that, and I think you'll be surprised.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So, before Michael Crichton had even finished the novel upon which the movie was based, a bidding war began, and among the directors in contention was Tim Burton, if you could imagine that. Richard Donner, and then, of course, Crichton's first choice and the ultimate winner, Steven Spielberg. Spielberg himself first learned of the existence of Jurassic Park from Michael Crichton while the two were discussing a screenplay which would ultimately result in the NBC hospital drama ER. Interesting. Spielberg's Schindler's List was greenlit only on the condition that Spielberg agree to direct Jurassic Park first. Spielberg did so, but left post-production work to George Lucas, while Spielberg left to begin work on Schindler.
Huh. Blackmail. It's like blood money.
Serious. Hollywood's all about the blackmail. Yet not about the black males. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Whoa, that's a little too on the nose, Randy.
After its release, Jurassic Park's $900 million international box office made it the highest-grossing film of all time to that point, until Titanic came along. Here's a fun
one. And it was in Titanic was in theaters for, like, ever. Like
2 years, yeah.
It's still
crazy.
Been there.
Yeah.
It never went away.
Yeah. There's always some little podunk theater somewhere playing it. Both William Hurt and Harrison Ford were offered the role of Dr. Alan Grant, which Sam Neill would eventually land. Richard Dreyfuss was also considered. All of those would have been very different choices for the movie.
Yeah, I really like Sam Neill. I think he's
yeah.
Good.
I thought he was
Harrison
perfect for the role.
Ford couldn't have done it. There's too much running, and we all know Harrison Ford looks funny running.
He does. He looks like a douchebag.
Man, but if they had made it like in the early 80s, he totally could have pulled off that role.
Is that why he was wearing that hat, by chance?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think Spielberg would have consciously made him look like Indiana Jones.
Because in the novel, he wears the hat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, Michael Crichton was paid $500,000 to adapt his book into a screenplay. And that almost that entire screenplay was shit-canned and was completely rewritten by... Malia Scotch Marmo, who wrote Hook, and David Kopp, who wrote Mission Impossible, Spider-Man, etc.
Huh. Did you get to keep that money?
$500,000. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, usually you get like 10% for like rewrites. So like if every time you rewrote it, you got like 50 grand.
Oh, shit.
That's the beauty of being a writer. The iconic rippling water scene was inspired by the mirror shaken in Spielberg's car while he listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow.
And the effect for the movie was actually created by placing a glass of water on a vibrating guitar. So you too can simulate that exact same effect if you have a guitar.
Every time I see a puddle of water, I try and replicate the ripple.
You just like jump right next to it.
I do. I can't help it. I always try and do it. Terrible.
Man, or the person next to you thinks of you. Like, what's that guy doing?
Playing Jurassic Park. Shut it.
He's like, no, you're supposed to jump in the water, douche. When NBC aired Jurassic Park on television for the first time in 1995, the 65 million viewers made it the most seen movie in television history since 1987's Trading Places.
Wow.
The impressive special effects in Jurassic Park provided some of the inspiration for Peter Jackson to explore developing the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and, we all know this one, for George Lucas to begin work on the Star Wars prequels.
Yay!
Yay for that. One of the four of us appreciates that. Actually, I appreciate it too.
Yay, Randy's not on alone. My team.
Yeah.
I like the Star Wars.
We got three. Come on, Amanda. Let's make it a consensus. I don't have a horse
it's
in this
okay.
race. Oh, yes, I'm gonna take that.
So, do you can you imagine anyone else in the iconic Richard Attenborough role from that? John Hammond. Can you imagine anyone else playing that role in Jurassic Park?
Carl Winslow.
No, it was originally offered to Sean Connery.
Oh.
Which is pretty interesting, but again, I don't think that would have worked. But could you imagine an on-screen reunion if it was Connery and Harrison Ford side by side again?
Would have been nice.
That would have been pretty cool. And it was only a few years after Last Crusade, so they still would have had that mojo going. Jurassic Park is 127 minutes long. However, can you guess how many of those minutes are actually have footage of dinosaurs?
Seven.
22.
Amanda?
Oh, wait, no.
I know this isn't the game, but...
Mine's way high. I was thinking of that.
5.
Well, the answer is 15.
Ooh. Oh, I was thinking 15, but I was like, oh, it's too high.
What? 15 of 127, exactly, right? 15 minutes has actual dinosaur footage in it, which when you think about it from a special effects point of view, that's freaking amazing. You only have 15 minutes of visual effects shots to do. And this, granted, this was like 1993, and CGI was in its infancy. So
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Still, well, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's why it was re-released this year, 20th anniversary on the 3D there.
What are the odds?
I know, right? But when you look back on it, that's kind of very much like the whole Jaws thing, how Spielberg did Jaws. You go the entire movie without seeing the damn shark, without seeing Bruce.
Right. Yeah, that you see like bushes rumble, or you know, a cage with a cow go down, and then it comes back all destroyed.
Yeah, it helps build all sorts of suspense for the creature, and it's totally cheap, way cheaper to make the movie that way. But it's brilliant when you think about it. There's a reason why Spielberg is Spielberg.
Yeah, I like the part at the beginning. It's probably like 30 minutes into it, but when they're on the island and they see the dinosaurs for the first time, and it's like those giant like Brachiosaurus or whatever. I just remember being blown away. You know, the music comes on and you see these giant dinosaurs, and one like reaches up on its hind legs to get a bite to eat. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I was like 13. Holy shit, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think I had the exact same reaction.
It's like, dude, they got dinosaurs.
He's like, how fast are they? We clocked the T-Rex at 35. He's like, come again? Yeah, we've got a T-Rex. I'm like, oh my God, they got a T-Rex.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Turns out, like, my grandma next to me. It's going to get real, grandma.
Anyway, is your list done, or is there more?
I got one more thing, but it's done enough.
Oh, what is it? What's the last one?
The sounds. The sounds made by the Dilophosaurus were a combination of howler monkeys, hawks, rattlesnakes, and swans. The Velociraptor sounds were made by a combination of elephant seal pups, dolphins, and walruses, and the T-Rex's roar was a combination of dog, penguin, tiger, alligator, and elephant sounds.
Wow.
I'm convinced that T-Rex sound is what a T-Rex sounds like. If a T-Rex were to come back and not sound like that, I would be shocked.
Yeah, if it made kind of a purring sound.
I guess it's perfect.
I like it when the raptors do like that caw.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What was the first one? A Dilophosaurus? Is that the spitter one?
Dilophosaurus,
the spitter.
Yeah.
Gets poor Newman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Please, goddamn, I hate this hack of shit.
So. I said that today when I found out that when the YouTube went down, I said I hate this hack of crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, YouTube went down today. Did you see that, Randy?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Justin texted me saying I messed up the site because the video I posted...
I didn't say you messed it up. I said that your video went to shit.
But you thought... you implied I messed it up because I do mess it up a lot. And so I go there and I'm like, oh, shit, I messed up. So I was going to take it down, and I looked at other sites and it was all down. And then I went to YouTube and it was completely down.
Yeah, that's weird.
Hack of shit.
It's crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
To make a video.
I put it on YouTube?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Great list. I love Jurassic Park. That movie is awesome. Mm-hmm. I enjoy all of them. Even though the second one sucks, I'll still watch it.
Yeah, I enjoy quite a bit of the second one. I actually enjoy when they're in San Diego. I know most people think that's like the dumbest part, but I like the T-Rex just like tearing out.
I think the part where the girl's doing the gymnastics to take down a raptor is the dumbest part.
Yeah, I'd give you that. Like the part where they're like in the RV and it's like falling off the cliff and like got like the glass all like splintering, that's pretty cool. That's like vintage Spielberg.
Yeah, pretty cool.
You still got it. Yeah. Got 2.5 T-Rexes. The book for The Lost World is pretty cool, but unfortunately it didn't all translate to the movie.
Oh, it's too bad.
Sad. Sadness.
I like the third one too.
I like that they're on the island like 5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, they don't waste any time. He's like doing a seminar and then bam, he's in the plane.
Yeah, T. Leone and William H. Macy show up and they say, let's go.
Yeah. Fine list, Randy.
Yay.
Two thumbs up. I love Jurassic Park.
I do too. Randy, you saw it in 3D, right? Didn't you go?
I didn't, no.
Oh, I thought you were going.
I, I wasn't one of the five people that saw it in 3D.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm bummed though. I legitimately am. I wish I had seen it, but it was out and gone by the time I even realized what was going on.
Do you guys want to play a fun game?
Do I? Heck yeah.
This is a different kind of game.
I like it already.
Haven't played this one before? It's called Ooh, I Love Me Some Statham.
All right.
And the way it's going to work is I'm going to read a plot to a Jason Statham movie, and you will try and identify that movie. Shout it out when you know it. There are 10 questions with the 11th as a tiebreaker if need be. Sound good?
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Here we go. Mandy, are you still awake?
Yes. Okay. I'm just like trying to remember all of his movies that I've seen.
Well, hopefully you've seen them all because they're all amazing. Number one. A botched card game in London triggers four friends.
Snatch.
Weed growers, hard gangsters.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Correct. David is correct. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Number two. This film is about a man whose job is to deliver packages without... What'd you say?
Transporter.
Right. David is correct. The transporter. Number three. A young girl whose memory holds a priceless numerical code finds herself pursued by the triads, the Russian mob, and corrupt New York cops. Coming to her aid is an ex-cage fighter whose life was destroyed by the gangsters who trail her.
I want to say it was called, like, Safe or Safety or something.
That
like
is correct, Randy. Safe.
Sweet.
Good job, Randy.
You haven't heard of this movie.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's on Netflix. Check it out.
I was just going to say, I saw it on Netflix a few weeks ago.
I thought you were talking about, like, the Michael Douglas, Brittany Murphy, like, I'll Never Tell
movie. Oh, yeah, I know. What was that movie called?
I think it might be called I'll Never Tell. Something like that.
Don't Say a Word.
Don't Say a Word. There you go.
Number four. After being betrayed and left for dead in Italy...
The Italian Job.
Dang, Dave.
I love The Italian Job.
You do. All right. Very good. The Italian Job. Number five. Unscrupulous boxing promoters, violent bookmakers...
Snatch!
Very good. Snatch. Amanda is on the board. That movie's so awesome. I don't think Dave's seen it, but...
I have not.
It's so good, dude. And Brad Pitt's in it, and you love Brad Pitt.
I like Jason Statham, too.
There you go.
I like everyone in the movie.
He's the star of the movie. It's his second movie, and he's amazing in it. And he speaks perfectly clear English. It's not English.
I'm in.
He speaks, like, regular. Americano.
I'll watch it tonight.
You should. It's on Netflix. Anyway, number six. Ex-con Jensen Ames is forced by the warden of a notorious prison to compete
Death Race
in the post-industrial world's most popular sport. You're correct, Dave. Death Race. All right. Number seven. I love me some Statham. A young man receives an emergency phone call on his cell phone from...
Cellular.
Yes. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's actually not bad, and Jason Statham's a bad guy in it.
That's with, what's his name? Is it Chris Evans? Is the main character?
Yeah. And then Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
Not too bad. All right. What is that? No, is that five?
I
think that was seven.
Kiefer Sutherland was in that movie, but he was in Payphone.
He was the voice. Phone Booth, not Payphone.
Oh, Phone Booth. I don't even remember.
You know who directed that? Schumacher.
Oh, shit. It's actually not that bad.
No.
I mean, it's not, like, amazing, but it's
I like
not.
Colin Farrell.
I like you.
Thanks. I like you a lot.
Yeah. Number eight. A CIA operative hires a team of mercenaries to eliminate a Latin dictator and a renegade CIA agent.
The Mechanic?
No.
Is it The
Expendables? I don't know what The Mechanic is.
It's The Expendables.
Oh. I didn't realize The Expendables had a plot.
Oh, dang. Number nine. Special assassin learns his rival has injected him with the poison that
Frank.
Was Frank. I heard Amanda first.
Yes.
Oh, dang. It's close. All right. A former DEA agent moves his family to a quiet town where he is...
Homeland.
Nope. Where he soon tangled the local meth drug lord. David has already guessed.
That's Homeland.
Homeland
oh,
is
shit.
On Showtime.
Oh, man. I missed it.
I was
going to
say,
that.
I don't My think bad. There's a movie called Homeland.
No. Does it's anybody... not the back of the home.
Does anybody else know?
The bank job?
Oh, my God. No. Vanity. No.
Homefront?
Very good.
I've never heard that movie.
It's the new one that's coming out.
I'm like, you're crazy. That's the movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not the right show.
See?
You got the first word right.
Yeah. So David wins with 6. Amanda has 2. Randy has 2.
Yeah.
So you two can go for the tiebreaker. So we got to have a third place. Are you guys ready?
Okay.
A mastermind who commands an organization of mercenary drivers across 12 countries must be brought to justice.
Fast and the Furious 7?
You are very close, but incorrect.
I would say Fast and Furious 6.
Correct.
That's bull.
He's in it for all of 2 seconds at the very end.
Ugh, you're the worst.
How am I the worst?
I think you're the best. Him being in that movie.
He is in it.
Can't believe you're counting the after credits sequence.
Well, you know what? Some of us went to film school and appreciate all the people that it took to make a movie.
That's right. Show your respect for below the line talent.
Yes.
I'd have respect for people who create movies. I don't count the after credit sequence as part of the movie.
I thought for sure you were going to bust out either The One or Ghost of Mars.
Thought about it, but I knew that you were the only one that saw either of those.
What happened to The Mechanic?
It's not on my list. I know you can't guess that like every time. Which I appreciate your enthusiasm, but it is not part of Ooh, I Love Me Some Statham.
Or what was that Dungeon Siege movie or whatever? Like In the Name of the King?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That movie was terrible.
I watched that on Netflix, too.
And it's in my queue.
That was during his rough stage. Because he did that and that movie War Dragons.
Ron Perlman's in it, too?
Like, 100 people were in that movie.
Yeah, but it made like 6 cents. It was insane.
Yeah, Ron Perlman is in it. What's like a director's name? It's like Yule...
Yule Bowl?
Yeah.
Uli Bowl?
He did Blubberella.
I think he won. I think that movie won more Razzies than any other movie ever.
Well, the director's like the biggest.
Easy.
Well, no, like he like challenges like people to fights. Like Roger Ebert gave him a bad review, and like he challenged all of his reviewers that he was gonna like kick their butts. Like he was mean.
Oh. Why?
We don't know. I guess he thinks he makes art.
Oh.
He thinks Blubberella should have won an Oscar.
What is that?
It's one of his last movies. It's like it's supposed to be like Barbarella, but he cast like a really big boned girl in it. And called it Blubberella.
I like it.
But the funny thing about that movie, Blubberella, I have to stop saying it, is he was at the time he was making Blood Rain the Third Reich. And so during the day, he shot Blood Rain the Third Reich. And since he had all the sets and everything was like lit, at night he had an entirely different crew come in and he shot this Blubberella movie for like $6, basically. Because he used all, he basically wrote the script around the sets he was filming Blood Rain on. And so he basically made 2 movies for the price of 1 without the studio knowing.
Wow.
So he's a crafty guy. A little sneaky. But he's crafty.
Oh, shit. Oh man, did I tell you guys I've been watching like the UK Netflix?
Yeah, you were gonna tell us how to do it last week, but
oh man, it's so cool. This takes 2 seconds.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, okay. So all you gotta do is you go to like if you're using Google Chrome, just go to their little app store on Google Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
The Chrome Web Store, and then type in Ola in the search.
Like Spanish for hello?
Yeah. It's like Ola Unblocker. And then you'll see Ola Better Internet. And then you download that. And then you just accept the terms. And then all you got to do is you go to Netflix and you log in like you're you. Okay? So you're still in the United States and you log in as you. And then you just click on that little fireball thing that's in the top right corner on your Chrome. And then you just change it to the British flag, and boom, you have UK Netflix.
Nice. That's so
you
cool.
You said they had better shit?
Dude, they have amazing movies. Freaking, like, The Hobbit's on there. The new G.I. Joe movie, Retaliation, is on there. Shawshank Redemption is on there, if you don't own it.
What? Who doesn't own Shawshank?
I don't. How funny is that? And you know what's even more funny? Is that I looked through all these movies for, like, an hour, and I end up watching The Waterboy, which is on regular. I felt like such an idiot. I was just like, whatever, I need to watch something, and I go with Waterboy. I was such an idiot. I can't believe I did that. But
so dumb.
I know. But that's all you do. It's so cool. But now, if you don't switch back over to the United States flag, next time you go to Netflix, it'll be like, hey, something's not quite right. And then you got to switch it again to United States, which is easy. You just click on the little British flag, and then you click on, you just say back to US. Easy. It takes 2 seconds.
Nice.
Credit goes to Reddit.
Like most everything else.
Yeah.
All right. Just wanted to say a big thank you to SuperheroMovies.com for the really nice article they wrote about the Kickstarter campaign for Nonstop to Comic-Con. Screen Rant, who tweeted us out, and really looks like they like the project. And Geek and Sundry last week also tweeted out our project, calling it hilarious. And getting the endorsement of all those sites, pretty awesome, pretty cool indeed. So thank you very much. And if you guys haven't checked it out yet, please take a look at Nonstop to Comic-Con on Kickstarter. You can get there from the big old banner at the top of the Geek Legacy website. Check it out.
Well, that does it for this week's podcast. As always, thanks for joining us. Be sure to check out our other podcasts on our Geek Legacy Network. We have the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by myself and Stephen James. It's all about the video games. And we also have the Comic Corner podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics that are currently on their pull list. Remember to check out IndieRain.com for all your source to independent movies. You can rent or buy independent films. It's a great website with an amazing library, so be sure to check that out. And also visit GeekLegacy.com for the latest and greatest in geek news and reviews. Thank you!